Vector 4, the continual renewal of the ever-present. Jesus noticed her and called to her, "Woman, you are released from your weakness." He laid his hands on her and instantly she became erect and glorified God. There is a tremendous message in these words because it shows at once that the person was released from a condition, and that condition was weakness. And immediately he told her that she was released from the weakness, she instantly became erect and glorified God. Well, we see clearly now these words mean this: the continuous renewal of the ever-present. The ever-present is always renewing itself in you and me, every moment. And that moment now is the living ever-present. It's a living presence, it's not a dead presence, it's not something you create in your mind, an idea of the presence, or a belief in the presence. It's a living expression of the presence itself, and that's why these words are put to show definitely the continuous renewal of the ever-present. Most people cannot realize the continuous renewal of the ever-present. And it's when we begin to see the cause of our troubles and to know that they are self-created, to know that they have no power of their own except the power we give them. And as we discern these things, so they dissolve away, they pass away. And then the continuous renewal of the ever-present is there now. You do not create it, it is. So that is the secret of the great and mighty truth that the Master knew was he himself was the ever-present life, and he knew it, but every other individual had it too. And immediately he saw the weakness, he said, "You are released from your weakness," knowing that the ever-present life would express itself. Immediately the weakness disappeared. Now, total freedom is possible only when we use the divine consciousness as we would use a surgeon's knife to cut out the things that bind us. In our relationship with people and things, we are able to free ourselves from our thought, feeling, reaction. When we discern deeply that relationship, if we are greedy, possessive, envious, jealous, dependent on people and things, and if we do not become aware of this relationship, our freedom is impossible. For we will be caught up in the conflict we ourselves create, and thus we create the very conditions we abhor. So we've got to be watchful continuously to see how we are conditioning ourselves and in our thought, feeling, reaction towards our neighbor. Whoever is your neighbor is the one who is nearest to you. Well, you'll find out what you're doing and how you're thinking, how you're reacting. And when you begin to discern these reactions, then you begin to free yourself because you see how stupid they are. But if you're caught up in them, you do not see how stupid you are, because you're caught up in these conditions. But immediately you discern these conditions, then you begin to realize the great truth of the continuous renewal of the ever-present. So you look at a picture, perhaps, and look at the painting, and you begin to scratch part of that painting off, and underneath you begin to see there's another painting here. So you begin to clean the whole paint off. This picture is underneath and reveals a great masterpiece. Now, the masterpiece was there all the time, and it was necessary that you had to take off the tape that covered it. It's the same with the individual. You've got to take off these things that cover the great masterpiece of the continuous renewal of the ever-present in our lives. It is because of this unconscious conditioning existing in the mind that the effects we produce are not understood. But if we understood the cause, we would also understand the effects. Is it not therefore of primary importance to us to know what we make up in our minds? Your thought feeling reaction is making something up in your mind. If you discern what you're making up in your mind through your thought feeling reaction to your neighbor or to the one who is nearest to you, that is your relationship, then you will know what is made up in your mind. And if you know what's made up in your mind, you will know the cause of the effects. And if you have any effects, you will realize the cause of them within yourselves. Because the continuous renewal of the ever-present is always a perfect expression of life itself. If the globe breaks, you do not destroy electricity. Electricity is not affected if the motor breaks down. Life is not affected if your body breaks down, or something comes wrong with your body, or you condition yourself. Life is not affected by that conditioning. Just as like electricity is not affected because the globe is broken. If we do not understand this, how can we ever realize that which is not made up in our minds? The unlimited power to act, to do what we see the Father do. So Jesus said these words, "What I see the Father do, I do also. All powers given unto me in heaven and on earth was not an idea made up in the Master's mind, for he was speaking from the Christ consciousness. He was speaking from a complete awareness of the truth that he was truly the Son of God. And being the Son of God, he was the Son of life. And being life, I am the life." He knew that he could not be destroyed in any way whatsoever, even if he destroyed the body. Life remained intact. We know that mental efficiency is dependent upon the power of attention. Yes, attention is not something that is created. It is a quality of mind itself. When the mind is free from conflict, you will clearly see that confusion in the mind can only produce confusion in your thought and in your environment. Attention is a quality of the mind itself. When the mind is peaceful and quiet, when there is no confusion and no conflict in it, when there is no opposition, when there is no duality, when there is no conflict of opposites. In your meditation, I'm sure that you have found that your mind is not quiet. You try continuously to suppress the thoughts that rise to the surface. And you think by doing so that you can meditate. But what are you meditating on? You can't meditate upon something you do not know. Therefore, your meditation should be the elimination from the mind of all conflict so that the mind becomes peaceful and quiet. And in that quiet, peaceful, there is attention. To attend to one thing at a time is a great help to the individual. When the mind is caught up in a particular thing, all the various ideas belonging to that particular thing flows into the consciousness as the mind is dwelling upon it. And information regarding that thing will rise to the consciousness. Scraps of information that you know nothing at all about, that have been hidden away in the recesses of your mind. And consequently, attention means, to a great extent, gathering together all these scraps of information, building them together, and as arrived in the consciousness, you find them all tied together by a line of association, which is the easiest form of bringing things to the consciousness. But a mind that is free from conflict, a mind that is free from irritations, is the mind that has attention. Therefore, it is to free the mind from all conflict, because attention is a quality of the mind that itself is free. The great secret most people are looking for is how to eliminate confusion. But if you do not know how confusion comes about, how can you eliminate confusion? Let us look at what is happening in our minds, and we will see clearly the cause of confusion. The sophist mind deals with things we see, hear, and feel through the senses. We have already dealt with this subject, showing that what the mind receives through the senses is vibration. And as the result of these vibrations, we build up in our minds mental pictures of what these vibrations represent to us through experience and memory. So what we see and feel and touch are vibrations that we receive and enter into our mind through the various channels of our brain, the various dissecting centers through which we build those pictures from the sensations of the vibrations we receive from light, sound, and touch. And through experience and memory, we are able to say, that is water, that is a glass, that is a tray. And we will look at it and we'll see, is it silver or is it not silver? You see what I mean? Therefore, through your experience, your memory, you're able to say what a thing is through the sight, feeling, and touch. Through your experience and memory. But if your experience and your memory is going to hinder the expression of that ever renewal, that continuous renewal of the ever present, then it's a hindrance. But if your memory and experience can be a means and a ladder through which you can rise out of the conditions that you are in, then it becomes an asset. But to the majority of people, their beliefs, their memories, their conclusions become a hindrance to the expression of new knowledge and wisdom. This subjective mental activity feeds upon what the surface mind gives to it. It is in this subjective mind that these pictures are made up. Not only objective mind, because the objective mind is always absorbing things coming from the outside. The subjective mind is the reflector, so that the consciousness can become aware of that which is made up. So the consciousness makes an apparent reality to you. Therefore, if you're not conscious of the picture at all, there is nothing to it. Even if the vibrations passed into your eye, the ear, whatever the case may be, and you are oblivious to these vibrations and sensations, the consciousness would not then give it a reality and it would not exist to you at all. Now you will see what I'm driving at in a few minutes as I draw the whole picture so that you can see what consciousness really is. And you will see that without a conscious realization of anything, it cannot exist at all to you. But if the consciousness is not aware of what is taking place, it is caught up in the things that are made up in the mind, and therefore can it become aware of that which is not made up in the mind. That is why Jesus said, I do what I see the Father do, showing that he was aware that what was made up in his mind was not a reality. He knew that what he made up in his own mind was his own creation. But the great thing to him was the continuous renewal of the ever-present life that was always present, that was eternal, that was the only creativeness. Therefore, he and the Father were one. We therefore create causes through our acceptance of what is made up in the mind as being a reality. These we will call secondary causes which create secondary effects, some of which are pleasant and some unpleasant, but they both come from the same source, the mind. Just as you will see that your ideas in your mind of health, ill health, success, failure, follower, the leader, and so forth, are all of your mind. They come from the same source, but you think they are different. You put one there and the other there, and you separate them, but they are both in your mind, created by yourself. Good and evil is just the same thing. And when we can begin to see the opposites and understand the opposites, then they will have no effect upon us. We will see that they are made up in our mind. Just as the two trees, people fail to see that the tree of life is one tree and the tree of good and evil is another tree. It's not two trees. They're not two things, good and evil. They're on the one tree. They grow out of man's mind. They have one source. So you have the pleasant and the unpleasant thing. The pleasant you will call good, and the unpleasant you will call bad. But they arise from within yourselves. If you do not see that, then you will never know and experience the continuous renewal of the ever-present life. Because you will be hanging on to the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and you will be eating of the fruit thereof. But the prophet said, take hold of this tree of life, and it will be a spring of living water rising up to eternal life. It will be your salvation. So clear is the understanding. Primary causes are perfect creations of the divine mind and are not made up in the individual mind at all. What is made up in the individual mind, no matter how magnificent it is still a limitation. Therefore, it is not perfect. Paul says, when the perfect comes, the imperfect will disappear. The imperfect will be superseded. But divine creations are beyond the idea of our perfection. The perfection we make up in our minds is brought about from comparison. We see a thing here and we say it is perfect. We see another thing and we say it is not perfect. Therefore we compare the two. Our comparisons are our perfection. But we cannot compare something that we do not know the perfection of, because the perfection of that divine creation is beyond comparison of individual mind. But if you are stupid enough, you say it is perfect. So the idea of our perfection, which is made up from comparisons, but comparison is made up from things we know. The divine mind is not limited. Therefore, divine creations are not limited like those of the individual mind. And we come then to the realization that you and I are a divine creation. And it's the ever-renewal, it's the continuous renewal of the ever-present. That is the perfect creation of man, of woman. You cannot destroy the spirit. You cannot destroy the life, no matter if you hack the body to pieces. Just as you cannot destroy electricity if you smash the light. The life is one whole. It isn't individual life at all. It is whole life individualized. It's the wholeness individualized. It is not the individual in the whole, but the whole in the individual. Therefore, the individual itself have no consequence whatsoever. And as soon as you see that, you will come to the realization of the words of Jesus when he said, I of mine own self am nothing. It's the Spirit of the Father within me that doeth these things. Therefore he got rid of the self because it was an illusion. The self was a bundle of wants, a bundle of reactions, a bundle of cravings, a bundle of falseness. And unless you begin to discern the self, and this first thing to do is self-knowledge, and with self-knowledge then there is clearing of the mind, of what's made up in the mind, then when we see what is made up in the mind is our own creations, and behind and beyond, there is the divine creation that is beyond comparison, beyond ideas, beyond images, beyond beliefs. It is. If we had no beliefs, no ideas, no images of the divine creation, we would be the continuous renewal of the ever-present life. What I'm trying to do is to show you that which is made up in your mind is not a reality, therefore is limited and imperfect. Not that you can compare your own creations with that of divine, because the divine is beyond your mind. Therefore there can be no comparison, for comparison of is of the mind itself. Yet the divine creativeness exists in us all, yet it is not made up in our minds. Therefore, what you make up in your mind about the divine creativeness is but an image, an idea, a belief, which is not divine creativeness. Are you still caught up in your ideas and your images of this divine creativeness? Or are you beginning to see that the elimination of these ideas and beliefs allow the divine creativeness itself to manifest? I am my own self, am nothing. The Spirit of the Father within me that doeth these things. I think it's becoming clearer and clearer to your minds. But without the clarity of your own images and beliefs, the clarity of seeing and knowing what is made up in the mind, the clarity of knowing that which is false, then you will never know that which is true. Unless you then become aware of that which in itself is made up in your mind, which is not the real thing, when that comes about, it drops away from you. The mind becomes free from its own conditioning. And there is the continuous renewal of the ever-present, every moment. You may experience that in the quietness of your mind,
for a second.
And then you begin to think again, and you have lost it. You try to recapture that moment of bliss, but that moment of bliss is past, is but a memory now, and you can never recapture that. If you try to recapture the moment of bliss that is past, it is past, is but memory, is nothing. But if you continually know that it is but a memory, and the ever-present is still every moment, then as the mind clears again, as it frees itself from memory, from experience, from identifying itself, from all these things, then there's a freedom comes, and in that quietness, which is attention itself, tension beyond attention, it is an experiencing of the ever-present. So simple is this, that it cannot be put into words. If man does not know the difference between the false and the real, he is lost in error. Nearly all minds are caught up in both so-called truth and error. The so-called truth is then faith in the good, while fearing the evil. If this is not confusion, then what is it? Don't you see that both these are made up in your minds? Your faith in the good and your fearing the evil, both are of the mind, but truth is beyond your mind. That which is in your mind then is not truth, but an idea of it, a belief, a theory, which is made up, and what is made up is not truth, because truth is not made up at all. Truth is love and wisdom. And if you will see, and you will see clearly that these things are not made up in your mind, they are the expression of truth. And when all that is false is dissolved away, then love and wisdom is there. A great and mighty, wonderful truth. Love and wisdom. The perfectness behind all creation. The created is not created. That which is created is not created. It is only the uncreated that is created. Life remains always uncreated while it creates and remains in its own creation as it was in the beginning. Just as electricity remains electricity, even through the light, it remains electricity. And the energy that flows from the light passes back in vibration out into the atmosphere and is caught up again in the movement and the atomic movement of the atoms and is absorbed again into the great atomic structure of the ether, bound again back into electricity once more, which it always was and always will be. So is life. The very vibrations of my voice is life. The spirit alone has voice. And when you know that the spirit alone has voice, you know the spirit. Then the voice gives the tone and the sound. And you begin to understand. When you begin to see this confusion of the mind, it will drop from you. And your freedom that always existed comes into being. And there is no better words than these to lead you beyond the mind. It is the Father, whoever remains within me is performing his own deed. Now, do not try to make an idea of the Father working in you, for for then you will be caught up in your idea again, which has no power because it is self-created. And when I say these words to you, you immediately create an idea of the Father working within you. But it's an idea. It is not a living reality. Oh, could I give you this? But I can't. You must find it out for yourselves. I can point the way, but you must travel that way yourselves. But if you keep your mind open, free from confusion, the real, which is love, wisdom, and power will manifest. Then you can see the Father is performing his own deeds. When you discern then the false, you will see that the false will fall away. Then you will find that love and wisdom begins to work in your own lives. It can't help itself. It must do. Because it is, it's the continuous renewal of the ever-present. And whatever the result will be, you will know that all is well. You'll not question. You'll not ask. You'll not say, I wonder if it is right or wrong. You'll not question when you have dissolved from your mind all that is false. You will know that the Father is working in you. You will say, as the Master said, not my will, but thy will be done. Your consciousness will be one with the divine consciousness in action. You will become aware of the divine creativeness, which is not caught up in the effects of secondary causes. Even if your consciousness is caught up in your own mental creation, which is limited according to your own conditioning. And if you examine your own thoughts and your thinking and your talk, you will see how you're conditioned. If you are not aware of your own thoughts, your own talk, your own actions, you will not be aware of how you're conditioned. But if you become aware of your own actions, your thought-feeling reaction, then you'll be aware of your conditioning. Then it will fall away from you, because you will see how false it is. But if you're caught up in it, you will not see it at all. Therefore, you will continue to be conditioned. When we begin to inquire, really inquire, we'll find that we are connected to the outside world by our surface objective mind. The brain is the organ of the objective mind. The cerebrospinal system and nerves put us in touch with every part of the body. The system responds to sensation of vibrations received from the senses in the form of vibrations of light, sound, taste, smell, hearing, and feeling. These vibrations are then interpreted in the mind according to our experiences, and we give them a place in the mind, and the consciousness gives them an apparent reality. When we are aware of what is taking place and how we arrive at our conclusions, we will see how erroneous they can be. It is said, things are not as they seem to be, and that is very true. And it only needs a little examination of your own minds to find out how true it is. You come to your conclusions through the vibrations of the senses, of hearing, seeing, touching, smelling, tasting, and so forth. But your conclusions are very often erroneous. To come to a conclusion about anything is erroneous. It prevents further understanding. If I condemn you or you condemn me, you will never understand me. If you resist anything, you will not understand it either. Resistance puts an ending to understanding. Condemning and blaming puts an ending to understanding. There must be no resistance whatsoever. If there is any resistance, there can be no understanding of any kind. Even if you resist a thought in your own mind and try to suppress it, there can be no understanding at all. This teaching is the very opposite of what you've been taught by the so-called psychologists who think we're living in the mind in opposites. And they say, well, you must suppress that thought and put another one in its place. A woman came to me yesterday, and she was in a terrible turmoil. I never saw a person in such a turmoil. And she said to me, I don't know what's wrong with me, but she says, I'm terribly agitated, I'm in a terrible turmoil, I'm depressed and everything. And I said to her, you've been repeating mantras, haven't you? She says, I repeat them from morning till night. I said, well, your subconscious has got caught up on you. She says, what do you mean by that? Well, I said, what happens to you is this. Every time you say the mantra about the opposite of what was troubling you, you only increase the opposite in your subconscious because you were afraid of it. Therefore, you say the mantra to overcome it. But the subconscious doesn't act on don'ts and nots. It only acts according to your feeling. Therefore, I say your subconscious is caught up in you now. And you're living in a world of opposites. I said, but the opposite is growing farther than the one that you would like to have. Therefore, the bad is atop of you and the good is underneath you. Now, do you see what I mean now? And I immediately began to see the truth. I said, don't you see the falseness now of all your mantras and all the things that you're doing? And it fell away from it. I took a chair for Sir Paul Jukes last night at the Selborne Hall, and I saw the woman who sent her to me. Good gracious me, she said, I've never seen such a change in a woman in all my life. She says this morning and during several weeks or months, she was in a terrible turmoil, she couldn't do anything. Now, she said, she came back this afternoon, a new woman, completely clear. I've never seen anything like it. Well, what happened? She dropped the whole business. It was like a tray full of china. She broke it in pieces and it all disappeared. And that's the cause of good many of other people in the troubles today. Their subconscious is catching up on them. You can't put a positive in place of a negative. The negative will still be there and will increase its intensity as quick as you make a mantra in the opposite direction. I don't know how people are so stupid. I say damn stupid because it's really to see how people are doing this. Repeat mantra and say, yes, trouble. Then they want to meditate and they keep down. They close their eyes and meditate. Before they know something, jumps up in their mind and say, why can't meditate? Can't meditate? Run over and say, if I can take another book and read a little bit of it, and so forth, and say, oh yes, that's awesome, so. Well, isn't that it? Living in opposite. I think we'd give the officers a few kicks in the pants, we'll get rid of it. Story I told you some time ago, because it was the parson met a chap, and the chap looked at the parson and he said, where in hell have I met you before? So the parson said to him, what part of the hell do you come from? It is true that we can send constructive impulses as well as destructive impulses through the nervous system, creating pleasant or unpleasant sensations. And it's possible that we can be benefited by our constructive impulses and adversely affected by our destructive impulses. But to be wide awake with understanding, we can become aware of both these impulses arising from the same source within ourselves. We will know that both come about through our reaction to people and things. And when this is discerned, we'll arrive at that which in itself has no reaction, that which does not react, being divine in nature, having all power in heaven and on earth. Therefore, all creations from this source are divine, created through the Christ consciousness. This is the door leading to the Father, which is always open when we understand ourselves. Therefore, there is always the oneness between the Father and the Son. The Father hath life in himself, and he granted the Son to have the same life in himself. Good gracious, the Master's words are as plain as pikestaff. It's absolutely plain. I can't see why people can't see it properly. To make a mantram or a repeat about it and so forth, and it is nothing to them but an idea. So we see that if the mind is seeking a result, however noble and worthy it is concerned with becoming, therefore ceases to be infinitely pliable. It must be as the unknown to receive the unknowable. It must be utterly tranquil for the being of the eternal. So the mind must understand every value it has accumulated, and in this process, the many layers of consciousness, both open and hidden, are uncovered and understood. The more there is an awareness of the conscious layers, the more the hidden layers come to the surface. If the conscious layers are confused, distorted, then the deeper layers of consciousness cannot project themselves into the consciousness except through dreams. It is the hidden layers of consciousness that convey the significance through dreams and symbols. If every thought feeling is thought out, felt out, as fully and deeply as possible without condemnation, comparison, acceptance, or identification, then the hidden layers of consciousness will reveal themselves and dreaming will cease. Therefore, through constant awareness, the dreamer ceases to dream, for through alert and passive awareness, every movement of thought feeling of the open and hidden layers of consciousness is being understood. But if you do not think out, feel out every thought completely, then you begin to dream. It is the suppression of thoughts, the conflict, the fears, the duplication, the duality, the formulations of your own thoughts in fear, and anxiety and so forth are then brought into the dream world. And there they appear as symbols. Therefore, meditation can only be effective when freeing the mind heart from its self-enclosing process. When the mind heart, the thought feeling, can free itself from its own self-enclosing process, that is meditation, not trying to suppress or to, as it were, concentrate upon a saint, to think that you'll become like that saint. How can you become like that saint if your whole mind is caught up and conditioned? If you're conditioned, if you do not know how you're conditioned, how are you going to escape that conditioning? Meditation can only be effective when freeing the mind heart or thought feeling from its self-enclosing process. The open and hidden layers of the consciousness are the result of the past of accumulation of centuries of education, and certainly such an educated, conditioned mind cannot be sensitive to the real. Ask a bishop if he knows anything about reality, and he will tell you no, he doesn't know anything at all about it, because of his own conditioned mind. Listen over the radio one day and listen to the stuff that goes over, and you will soon find how conditioned the people are. Read your newspaper and see how the whole world is conditioned. Anything that separates man from man conditions man. Anything that separates man from man is not true, it's false. The basis of all humanity is unity. Anything that separates, destroys that unity is false. A belief in any religion, a belief in any political party, a belief in anything whatsoever that separates man from man is a falsehood. Now, as soon as you realize that and learn that and realize it to be true and see it for yourselves, the sooner these things will fall away from you. The world today is broken up because of these various beliefs, ideals, and so forth. The still silence after the storm of conflict and pain, there comes inexpressible beauty and joy. It is not the result of the storm, but the sensation of the conflict. People think the storm is the cause of the trouble after the storm is over. Nothing of the sort. Storm will come again because the conflict has not been dealt with. The mind heart must be passively still for the created being of reality. Therefore, there must be a continual renewal of the present. If the present is burdened with experience of yesterday, there can be no renewal. Renewal is not the action of birth and death. It is beyond opposites. Only freedom from the accumulation of memory brings renewal of the present, and there is no understanding except in the present. Mind can understand only if it does not compare, judge. The desire to alter or condemn the present without understanding gives a continuity to the past. Only in comprehending the reflection of the past in the mirror of the present, without distortion, there is renewal. Without fear, without condemnation, without comparison, you will see then what is made up in the mind. Impersonally, you will view it, without being affected in any way whatsoever. Then you will know what is false. Then the truth self will reveal itself. Continuous renewal of the ever-present in the present is freedom. Now, freedom is not of the mind. You cannot picture it, for it is beyond mind. Yet it is ever-present now in you and me. Present everywhere. This is the eternal joy that wells up as a spring of living water, renewing the soul and body, for it created both for its own self-expression. Which of you shall have a gnat or an ox fallen into a pit, and will not straightway pull them out on the Sabbath day? Luke 14:15. Benediction. Thou art ever present, in the present always, O Eternal One. When I was caught up in the past, in memories, in experiences, the present was cloudy, and I could not feel thy omnipresence. When I saw that all that I had created about thee in my mind was my own creation, it fell away from me, and I knew thou always existed in me, O Eternal One. Then I comprehended the reflection of the past in the mirror of the present without distortion, and I began to live in thee. And I saw what was false. Then I knew that thy reality was ever present in me now, and that we were one, O divine creator.